Bye. Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for SN Fresen Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to the SN Fresen Show. I'm Adrian Bugatti and we're talking about food today that's going to boost your immunity. We're all stuck here in lockdown. And winter is coming. So you want to fight, you know, the colds and flu that are coming round because you don't want to have to be fighting on two fronts. So the first thing we need to talk about is the kind of foods that we're going to need to introduce into our diet for every day to boost immunity. And also to talk about what are we going to do with the kids that are probably going back to school. We did get a message the other day that if lockdown is partially lifted, the schools are going to stagger their returns. This means that some of us are going to have kids at home and some of us are going to have kids going to school and then coming back. And we don't want them to keep bringing back viruses and things like that. So continue, please. My kids think this is the very funniest thing because they've always called me OCD about hand washing. It's something that I've always insisted that they do when they get home from school, before they touch me, before they touch any food, that kind of thing. So it's an important part of our everyday life. So when you are sending everybody out, you want to know that you're doing everything you can to boost their immunity. For those of us that are still working as essential services, it's even more important. Just remember, soap and water are still your best virus fighters, so keep washing those hands and keep sanitizing. Remember to wear your mask when you go out. That's an important thing. Gloves are not nearly as important as we often forget to sanitize our gloves, but masks that are washable are very important. Okay, so now how do we protect our family and reduce the risk of everybody contracting not only COVID, but in general viruses as a whole. And there are a few ingredients that I feel that you should add to your food, to your everyday living, to have in your cupboard to help boost immunity in all your family. I'm just going to list them and then I'm going to talk about each one as it comes. So the first is ginger, and ginger is very high in antioxidants, which help you fight viruses. And also seems to have anecdotal evidence, not research, that it can help control your blood pressure. Garlic is an old and well-known colds and flu fighter. It is a great antiviral to be taking, and it's used to treat all sorts of stuff. I did do a show last year on the benefits of ginger, garlic, in particular those two, which I use a lot of in my cooking. Turmeric, which is a great flavorant, but it not only boosts your immunity, but it can have anti-inflammatory properties or benefits for people suffering from different types of arthritis. Honey, we've always known, is a great food source. Lots of vitamins in that, as well as energy, and it's an easily digestible, easily usable energy for your body. Citrus fruits contain a lot of vitamin C, and included in the citrus fruits, I would include things like kiwi fruit. So that's quite an important one to look at. As expensive as they are, trying to add those into your diet would be an important thing. So then we're looking at great sources of vitamin C. Bell peppers, especially the red bell peppers, which are nice and sweet, are a great vitamin C source. Your dark green vegetables like broccoli, spinach, that kind of thing, they're very high, not only in vitamin C and iron, but also in vitamin K, which helps with your blood health. Yogurt, people have been talking about the antimicrobial aspects of yogurt for years and the benefits of that. Almonds are also great with vitamin E, and especially during lockdown when we're not getting out as much and where your kids are sitting inside, it's great for your skin, and just great for general health. It contains high fiber and magnesium content as well. And then green tea, but not, you want as pure a green tea as possible. So you want to check that you're not getting one that's been sort of processed and has caffeine in it or too much caffeine in it. It does still have caffeine. Green tea contains something called flavonoids, and those are great immune boosters. Then we've got our beautiful papaya, which, you know, is still in season, but if you're buying, you can find it at specialty shops. Sunflower seeds, I add those to salads. I add them to cooking. I've crushed them up to make them into, instead of using flour to coat schnitzels, and they have a nice nutty flavor to them, really good in vitamin E. And then, of course, our Jewish penicillin, chicken soup. Chicken soup, they've done studies. Nobody's 100% sure, but it does work. It does make you feel better. They're not sure if it's the protein from the chicken, if it's just the fact that it's all the vegetables, because when you cook vegetables, most of the vitamins and the nutrients leak out of your vegetables into the water that you're boiling them in. So that is the possibility of why the chicken soup works. Okay. So as I said before, my children will tell you that I am almost OCD about hand washing. And that was even before COVID-19. It's just been, that is me. I am about hand washing. Don't touch me. They know from when they were little, just go wash your hands. So for me, this time is actually quite good. I don't mind not being around people. I don't mind having to wash my hands 1,000 times a day. I do it anyway. But I do have to be more careful. Obviously, I'm working. And in the last few years, I moved from, for those who know me, I moved from working in a casualty where I was working these long 12-hour exhausting shifts and not paying attention to what we were eating at home to having a job with regular hours where I'm doing 99% of the home cooking. I routinely use garlic, ginger, and turmeric in my food. It is pretty much a standard in my house, especially the garlic and ginger. And I must admit, since I started this practice a few years ago, we've noticed the occurrence of colds and flu in my house have been drastically reduced. And when you've got kids going to school, they're bringing everything home, especially the little ones. And you want to try and avoid that. Kids going to nursery school, kids going to creches, daycare, and sports as well. You want their immunity to be improved in that. So it's important that you keep a few things in your home, and it doesn't matter for certain things whether you take it in fresh form, in tablet form, or as a freeze-dried alternative. As long as it's in the food in certain amounts, it works well. So when we get back from the break, I'm going to talk about my number one recommendation to boost your immunity and how much you need to use it.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to High FM SN Fresen Show. I'm Adrian Bugatti from Kashering Your Life. So today I'm sort of talking about foods that are going to help us boost immunity. That's what I'm going to start with. And then I will talk about foods that I think we should all be having, especially when you've got all the kids and everybody at home. So let's talk about that. So my number one recommendation that everybody, I think, should have in their homes, in whatever form they can, is garlic. I am a huge believer in garlic. I will put it into just about everything. I put it in my chicken soup. I put it in my baby marrow soup. I put it in my risottos. I put it in the lasagna. Whatever I can, I put garlic. Obviously, depending on the kind of food you're cooking, so if I'm cooking something like a baby marrow soup or a tuna lasagna where you don't want the garlic to be overpowering, I use maybe one or two cloves. Where I want the flavor of the garlic to come out, obviously I use more. Now remember, garlic is very much a personal taste sort of issue. So, you know, use as much or as little as you need. The truth is though that to get the true benefits of garlic, it is best to eat it raw. So putting it into salad dressings is great. But honestly, the amount of garlic you would need is more than most of us will have. So for those who really need to boost their immunity but don't like garlic, you can still get garlic supplements available there from the pharmacy. And they're very good. There's nothing wrong with them. And the choices of what you want is you can use the dried garlic, the garlic flakes that you can buy in the bottle. You add those. If you read the instructions, they'll tell you to soak it for a little while because they've been dehydrated. And so as that happens, they do lose some of their antioxidant properties. And, you know, the benefits do go down. Obviously, fresh garlic is always best. But, you know, if you're not a big garlic user, you're not going to want to keep so much garlic around. My house, I use a minimum of 2 whole garlic bulbs per week, because I use so much garlic. So, you know, it is an important thing to do. You know, I'm cooking meals for 7 people. So 2 cloves of garlic in a meal is often sort of lost in the flavoring, of the food, but the benefits are not, and that's why we put our garlic in right at the beginning, just so that everything can be drawn out and it can also flavor your foods every day. So when you want to use garlic, like I said, garlic in a salad dressing is great because you're eating nice, healthy foods and you're adding your fresh garlic to your salad and to your food flavoring. So then another product that I use is ginger. I love ginger. Okay. Not only is it good for immunity, but it's actually also good for nausea and vomiting. This isn't an excuse for the pregnant ladies to go out and eat the ginger biscuits, or for those of us at home who are eating ginger biscuits. It's also great to flavor green tea or even just ordinary tea. Ginger has some beautiful properties. You know, pickled ginger that you get with your sushi, or even we used to have it when I was growing up. My father was a big Chinese food lover. Well, not only Chinese, Taiwanese, that kind of thing. And we used to get the candied ginger. So it was ginger in syrup, and you drank that with your green tea. And that's what sweetened your green tea instead of using sugar. And those are great for after heavy meals. You know, ginger is a good thing to settle your stomach and just make you feel better. Ginger has a lot of properties, like I said, the immunity and the anti-inflammatory properties. But to get the anti-inflammatory properties of ginger, you would need to be eating that for at least 10 days to get the benefits or the pain relief for the ginger, from the ginger. So that's an important thing. Then turmeric. Turmeric has been around for years. It's used for all sorts of things. From, I've seen patients come into the casualty where the family have put turmeric onto an open wound to stop the bleeding. So like I said, turmeric has been used for a long time from India and the Middle East, where it's a great coloring to your food. So putting it in rice gives it a nice yellow color, plus it gives it a great flavor. It's an antioxidant, and antioxidants are what we need to, you know, to fight infections. So making yourself some turmeric tea is also something that you can look into. I can't say I've ever developed a taste for it. I prefer my turmeric in my curry. And that's a great thing. And that's why I like curry, because curry uses garlic, ginger, and turmeric, which is wonderful fighters for infection. The next food source that we looked, that I'm looking at, is your green leafy vegetables. And those are things like spinach and broccoli. Both of those have vitamin C, which we know is used to help fight colds and flu. I mean, most doctors have told us now in this COVID time to increase our vitamin C intake to help fight colds. The problem with green vegetables is you have to be a little bit careful. It's not as easily absorbed. The vitamins and the iron especially are not as easily absorbed into our body as animal protein or animal iron sources, so like meat and that kind of thing. But for those of us who prefer to have less meat and more vegetables, it's a great source. The thing with spinach is a lot of us tend to boil our spinach, and then you've seen the green in the water. That water has more vitamins in than your spinach has left. So where possible, use as little water to cook your spinach as you can. And for me, one of my personal favorites is the baby spinach, because you don't have to cook it. It can be used for salads and it's easy to check, so no problem. But if you're going to buy broccoli stems and kind of, or the broccolinis, which are nice and easy to check, you can have, there are some beautiful recipes out there of broccoli mash. If you can mash cauliflower, you can make mashed broccoli. I'm not so sure about broccoli rice, because I can imagine the kids would have an issue eating green rice. So that would be a bit of an issue. But spinach, fantastic. You do need to be careful with green vegetables if you are on any kind of anticoagulant or blood thinning medication, as it contains a higher dose of vitamin K, which can cause clotting. So you need to be careful when eating green vegetables, have them cautiously, or avoid them altogether, especially if you have a history of clotting. So that's an important thing. Now, to improve the intake of the vitamins from your spinach and that, one of the things that they do recommend is mixing that with a citrus fruit or something that contains an ability for the vitamin C, which is much higher, to help you absorb your spinach. So if you can combine foods that are high in vitamin C along with your spinach and your broccoli or your cabbage, that would be a great way to eat it. And also, the less cooking you do with these vegetables, the more vitamins you're going to get. As I said once before, when we boil our vegetables or even when we steam them, often a lot of the vitamins and nutrients leach out of the vegetables and into the water. So using that water to cook, you know, in your vegetables, if you're going to make it into a soup, and that's something I do quite a lot of, I must admit, is that if I've made vegetables where I've actually boiled them, then what I do is I take the water from the boiled vegetables, as long as it's clean, and I pour it into my soup and use that as my base of my soup. It's great for making stocks. And that's an important thing. The next one, which is not a very popular thing in my house, I must admit, though, I'm not sure how it's come. My kids, especially my son, likes it. I like it. But I know where that comes from. My father used to drink his green tea all the time. That was like his thing. And green tea has a lot of antioxidant properties. It contains less caffeine than regular tea or coffee, but it still contains caffeine. So please just remember that the myth about coffee having more caffeine than tea, that's not really a reality. Tea contains, you know, the tea we drink, our normal tea, does contain a lot of caffeine in it. It just has less effect on us than the coffee, because coffee has other stimulants in it. So it's important that you remember that when you're drinking, whether you're drinking green tea, regular tea, or coffee, you should limit it to no more than 3 or 4 cups a day. So green tea is a great drink to have after a heavy meal or after having oily foods. It just settles your stomach, makes you feel a little bit better, and it does have antiviral properties in it. One of the things you need to be careful with, though, with green tea is to drink it sparingly, especially if you're on anticoagulants, because it does contain vitamin K, as well as if you have a history of kidney stones and high blood pressure, it can increase both of those. The next one, which is a little bit of an expensive way to get your vitamin C requirement, but so delicious, is red bell peppers. And they contain almost 200% of your daily vitamin C requirement when eaten raw. It's important that, you know, you do understand that. When they're in season, they're great, but otherwise, you know, I like them. My family will eat them as you would eat a normal fruit. They just love the flavoring. So you can get vitamin C from green peppers, which are your sort of unripened red pepper, and they are slightly cheaper, but you're only going to get about a third of the amount of vitamin C. So that's an important thing. And peppers, whether they're red, yellow, or green, just remember it's a variety of, they're the same pepper, it's just the difference of ripeness. So green is the least ripe, yellow medium, and then it goes red, which is the ripest and the sweetest. So if you're craving sugars and things like that, having a bell pepper as a fruit is a great thing. It also helps, believe it or not, burn calories. So it is a great diet food for those who insist on that horrible word. For me, diet is a bad word, and I prefer us all to please talk about using lifestyle changes or eating better. So that's an important thing. The next one was papaya or pawpaw, depending on what you know about it. And pawpaw is a great fruit. It's also antioxidants. So it's known to lower cholesterol. It's very high in vitamin C. It boosts your immunity, so it helps with weight loss as well. It can help, believe it or not, protect against arthritis, which is great. So those who are looking to lose weight, papaya is very low in calories but very high in fiber. So it makes you feel full. So if you can get your family who's stuck at home and eating you out of house and home to eat some papaya, that might help you. So also, papaya, along this, the same as the red bell peppers, contains 200% of your daily vitamin C requirement, which is why it is so good to fight immunity and to help prevent infection and viruses and things like that. Almonds are a great source of fiber, as we've said, and that's like a huge thing that we want. It's got lots of vitamins. It's got vitamin E, which is another one that we want to be looking into. You know, they are slightly expensive, obviously, so you're not going to go mad and eat tons of them. You know, so a small handful would be great, you know, on a daily basis just to fill you up. Lots of fiber, lots of vitamin E, which, you know, is very important. So you just need a small handful, which is really good. Although in my house, a small handful is not going to really work because mine can eat it great. So the best choice when choosing to eat almonds, please, is the ones with the skin on, because that is where your antioxidants are found, and blanched is, you know, has removed your antioxidants. So they can, antioxidants can prevent a lot of diseases. They help protect you against colds and flu, but they also help protect you against things like Alzheimer's and cancers and all sorts of other stuff. So that's an important thing, and they're good for controlling your blood pressure. So remember, almonds added to your diet are great. Chicken soup. So I've spoken about chicken soup. I've spoken that the fact that we're not sure what chicken soup has in it. Why is chicken soup so good for you? There are a lot of theories about that. And one of the things that I do, which I know, you know, my mother always thinks is a little odd, is why do I add garlic and ginger into my chicken soup? It's an unusual, it's an unusual sort of additive for chicken soup. Now, a lot of people say, okay, chicken soup is not good for you. The reason it is good is the fact that it's got lots of vegetables in it. So it depends on who you speak to. Soup in general can help open. So one doctor decided, he says it's not good for you. It's got no effect on the common cold or anything, but eating lots of soup can temporarily lessen nasal symptoms. But it won't shorten the duration of the infection. You know, this is from somebody who says avoid eating animal products that are damaging to the digestive system. So you've got to look at where it comes from. But chicken soup, from somebody else who's a pharmacist, says chicken soup is great for seven reasons. One is it's a cup. So for those of you who are drinking the 8 glasses of water, just remember that your tea, your coffee, your soup all come with water. Those can be included in your 8. So you need 8 glasses of fluid a day, especially when you're sick. It's a cup of soup, just easy to digest, and it adds, you know, for your overall vitamin intake, because you've cooked the vegetables in the water, and that's why it can be a benefit. So here's another one who is a doctor who said, hot chicken soup has been regarded for centuries as a cure for the common cold. While research affirms that this is not a cure, hot chicken soup is a potent mucus stimulant, especially when it's loaded with pepper, garlic, and maybe curry powders and pungent spices, and they help thin out the mucus of the throat and lungs. Okay, it also contains amino acids, which doctors often use, called acetylcysteine. So I never get the word right, so I'm not going to say it properly. But it's one of the treatments that doctors use for bronchitis and respiratory infections. So, great. And here she has said, this doctor, Dr. Deborah Fulgham-Bryce, has said that adding chili peppers and spices will also have an extra advantage. So that's why my ginger and garlic work really well. So mostly they're saying that the chicken soup is great for that because of the vegetables and because of the steam, it helps break down the mucus. So that's a great thing in your nose. So for those who've seen this video that's going around that says you should drink hot water but not too often, it's the truth is it's just the steam that's going to break down the mucus in your body and help you cough it up. That's the main thing. We're going to take a break now, and when I get back, we're going to talk about some foods to give your family that will keep them full for a little longer while they're stuck at home.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to the SN Fresen Show with Adrian Bugatti from Kashering Your Life. So I've just been speaking about foods that are going to build immunity and help fight, infection, and hopefully prevent any of us from getting cold, flu, and COVID virus during the winter. This is over and above continuously washing your hands. I've said before, I'm a big OCD hand washer. I will wash my hands for no reason. Please continue to do that even when we're all COVID free in a long time, which will be in a couple of months. So now I'm talking about foods that are going to fill us for staying at home, so that we're not continuously hungry, so that you know in your head that when you're feeling hungry, it's actually just boredom. Okay, so that's an important part of the feeling of hunger, especially now, is boredom. It's why we tend to not notice how much we're eating. If you're watching a movie, you can eat an entire box of popcorn, whereas if you're just sitting at a table eating popcorn, you're going to eat a lot less. So it's important for us to understand that when you are feeling full, rather get up and do something else. If you really are craving things, go choose healthy things. Like I said, if you can, your peppers, eat them whole. Things like papayas that are going to fill you up because of the high fiber content. So here are four things that are going to, that you will find in foods that are going to keep you full. The first one is protein. It's been shown that protein is one of the most filling macronutrients available. The thing that you have to remember is that protein doesn't have to come from an animal product. So we don't have to be eating huge amounts of fish, chicken, or beef to get our protein. There are a lot of vegetables and a lot of things out there, especially beans and legumes, that have a lot of protein. Fiber, again, it bulks up, makes you feel full. Once again, I'm talking about beans. So we use a lot of beans in my house, whether they're black beans, chickpeas, ordinary peas, green beans, all of those things are great. Foods that contain a lot of water or air, they can help that. And that we were just talking about is spinach. Spinach contains a lot of water in it, and that's why when you cook it, it shrinks down so much. It's because of the water content in those green leafy vegetables. And then low in energy density. This means it's a low-calorie food for its weight. Okay, that's the important thing. You can have a food that has low calories but is huge and filled with nothing. It's not going to keep you full at all. Whereas a calorie-dense food is something that's low calories, but it's a heavy food to eat, and that'll keep you full. So remember, high fiber, high protein is going to help. So potatoes, for me, are a huge thing. Now, I know people talk about potatoes are bad for you. It's not. It's what you stuck on your potatoes that's bad for you. We do a lot of baby potatoes, which are a low GI. GI is your glycemic index. Those are foods that are also going to keep you full for longer. So small baby potatoes, delicious. They are very high on this, what they call satiety index, and that is foods that are really filling. So that's an important thing. Boiled potatoes are great for filling up, and it'll get you to eat less carbs. One of the animal proteins is eggs. They're very healthy. The change of only having one or two eggs a week in the old days because of cholesterol that we've now discovered is not true. So having eggs a day, like once a day, not a bad thing. Remember, once again, it's how did you cook your egg? Did you poach it or did you fry it? One, very important. For breakfast, oatmeal or oats, great breakfast choice to keep you full for longer. Please just remember that these instant oats and the jungle oats and, you know, check the sugar content in there, because sugar does not fill you up. It actually makes you hungry. The reason that oats are filling is that they've got a high fiber content and they have the ability to soak up water. If you think about when you put oats into water, it's a great, you know, by the time you finish, the water is gone. Adding some honey to it, adding some fruit to it, like raisins, will give it a sweetness, and there you go. Fish, especially things like tuna, are more filling because they are rich in omega-3 fatty acids. So they are very, very good for you. Any soups that you can. Once again, my favorite soup, I did a whole show on soup just because I love soup so much. And the benefits are just so great. But something like a minestrone soup. A minestrone soup is all these huge vegetables, lovely thick filling soup. You put your durum wheat pasta, please. Durum wheat, the reason I say durum wheat is it's low GI, which means it not only keeps you full for longer, but it helps maintain your sugar levels to stop you from getting hungry. And you're putting beans in there. So beans are great fiber as well. So fantastic to eat, you know, and it's fluid. So it keeps you full for longer as well. Obviously, meat is a great protein to have. Yogurt is great. They do say, though, that Greek yogurt, which is much thicker compared to regular yogurt, typically has higher protein in it. But once again, it's an animal protein. So for those who are trying to reduce their animal protein intake, you're going to have less of this. Vegetables, for those who've got problems eating vegetables, especially like kids and stuff like that, what I often do and what I used to do when they were kids was I would hide them in my meat, like in my vegetables, in my food. So if you're doing meat, say if you're doing a lasagna or a cottage pie or something, what I used to do is I used to grate my baby marrows and my carrots, finely grate them into the mixture and cook it with the meat so that the nutrients from the vegetables are going into the meat at the same time. And it's really a good thing to do. Cottage cheese, especially low fat, has high protein. So that's a great thing. Legumes, as I said, we've done a whole show on that. Beans, peas, lentils, peanuts are huge. They are what people often consider superfoods because they do fill you up much better. So a nice snack to do, which my son quite likes, is I open a can of chickpeas, you rinse them nicely, toss them in a little bit of olive oil, and season them with a nice healthy seasoning, and stick them in your oven to roast. When they're nice, they become like crisp, and they almost like pop. And those are fantastic for filling you up, very high in fiber as well. Fruit, you need to be careful with fruit. Apples and oranges are the best filling fruits. But please just remember, don't drink your fruit, eat your fruit. You get more benefit from eating an orange than from drinking a glass of orange juice. Partly because the orange juice has got too much sugar in it. Whereas you eating a whole fruit makes you feel full for longer. Quinoa. Big talk about quinoa, great source of protein, huge source of protein. It is a sort of acquired taste. My family have never acquired it. Nuts, almonds, walnuts, very energy dense, nutrient rich snack. A handful of almonds and walnuts are very filling. And it's important that you rather chew your nuts slowly. So what I'll often do is put a little bowl next to me if I'm reading, because my children will tell you I go into another world when I'm busy reading. And I add those, and I just chew one at a time. And the study that I've just read said that if you chew an almond 40 times, it has a greater reduction in hunger and increased feeling of fullness compared to chewing 10 to 25 times. I don't know about you, but I'm not sitting counting how many times I've chewed on my food. Popcorn, cheap, high fiber, fantastic for filling the children. Much better than potato chips or chocolate. Okay? So it's important, popcorn. It is better, obviously, to do air popped if you can. Because adding oil to your popcorn is going to increase your, you know, your intake. And that's all from us for today. So I hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you for listening, and stay safe, stay healthy. And this is Adrian Bugatti saying goodbye.